to see who is the end and the beginning. You carry me and you go before. You are the journey and the journey's end. Amen. Amen. This story from John's Gospel about Thomas prefigures the 20th century corporate culture axiom: never miss a meeting. If you miss a meeting, the next day you will find yourself chairman of a committee, the leader of a capital campaign, or having more duties than others as assigned. Thomas was not there. He did not hear the voice of his brothers who said to him, "We have seen the Lord." Thomas also, prophetically, prefigures the United States of America, for he came from Missouri. Show me. Unless I see the mark in his hands and the gash in his side, I will not believe. No matter what you say to me, no matter how much you can give me your witness, I stand firm in my unbelief. Most of us are like Thomas. Most of us want some evidence, want something. God, speak to me. Show me a sign. Give me something that I can hang on to. Show me the path. Give me some direction. I have cried in my bed and on my desk, saying, give me a sign. Give me something that I can hang on to. Most of us do not receive a sign. Most of us, when we make that supplication, we hear silence. We hear nothing. It is not because God is absent. It is not because God does not hear our crying in the middle of the night, or in the daytime, or when we are distressed, or when we are literally at the end of our rope. God hears us, and by his silence shows us what true faith really is. It is my contention that this story from John and the story of Lazarus being risen from the dead are one in the same. They are instances in which God intervenes in his own plan, changes it in mid-course, and says, okay, I will give you a sign. However, because I give you a sign, it will not increase your faith. Signs and wonders, dreams and imaginations, burning bushes and fiery mountains do not increase our faith. We are under the false impression that our faith is so fragile that we need something to buck it up with. We need something for a firmer foundation of our faith. We need a tighter structure. We need something more tangible. Faith is belief in things which are not seen, or heard, or tasted, or touched. Faith is a manifestation of God in the void that he put there in our soul. If we have only what we can see or hear or taste or smell or touch, where is our room for God? Where is our room for the faith that we must have in order to truly believe? Faith is not some piece of fragile china or crystal. Faith is a garden spade. Faith is tough. Faith is stronger than we think it is. We treat it that way because, ironically, we have no faith. We have no faith in our faith. We do not believe that just because it enters our heads, just because when we see or hear something, that our souls are inflamed, and that one thing is held so preciously that we don't do anything else. Faith demands action. Faith is not something to be cherished, put away in a box, and revered. Faith is something that needs to be used. Faith is something that needs to be proclaimed. The disciples had that faith. Thomas had that faith. They saw the Lord. And through that, they proclaimed the good news. And for hundreds of years, that news spread. And they tried to kill it. But like a garden spade, it's tougher than that. They tried to ridicule it. But like a garden spade, it was tougher than that. Faith is stronger than persecution, than martyrdom, than death, than revilement, or being shuffled off to the side because what you believe is irrational. Faith has the power to change a person's life. Faith is that strong thing, but we can't prove it. We can't see it. We can't touch it, but we know it. That knowing is our faith. That knowing is why we are here. That knowing makes us stronger than we think we are. We do not need to be shown. We do not need the evidence. And they can over-medicate us or shuffle us off to one side or call us irrational or whatever. But we know the truth. And that truth not only will make us strong, but will also make us free. In that freedom, let us profess what we know to be true. And if people ask for evidence, say what God said. No, believe instead. Amen. Let us stand and profess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven. Thank you.
Prayers of the People can be found on page 388 in the Book of Common Prayer. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy, give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy, bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy, comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. Lord, in your mercy, we commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled. And we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hasten, O Father, the coming of thy kingdom, and grant that we, thy servants, who now live by faith, may with joy behold your Son at his coming in glorious majesty, even Jesus Christ, our only mediator and advocate. Amen. It being Eastertide, we will dispense with the confession. The peace of the Lord be always with you.